Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. You do know that every Tuesday we've got this really important feature, which is called Tech Tuesday. And today is no different because we're talking about the role of technology in countering climate change. I do feel like I am very much underdressed for this particular conversation because, you know, when you talk about anything with climate change, you're talking about serious stuff, right? Very, very serious stuff. And we must change everything. From the way we dress to our voice and everything that line. But anyways, we're talking about the role of technology in countering climate change. I'd like to hear from you on +27734703520. Please give us your views there. But climate change is one of the most complex issues facing humanity today. Well, it involves many dimensions from science to economics, society, politics, the moral and ethical questions, some might even add. It's, of course, a global problem, which is felt on many scales, and I suppose even at local scales as well. And you and I can attest to that because, yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening here locally, you know, that have to do with climate change, right? And, of course, that is something that we need to be talking about. To help us understand the role of technology, then, in countering climate change, we are joined by environmental engineer, that is Mr. Mofaya. He's joining us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm all right, thank you.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Must be the first time I'm actually talking to you. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and I suppose maybe how did you even get into this type of work?
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm going to try to be brief because I understand the program. There's a limitation on time.
Yes.
But briefly, my name, as said, is Mubiana Mufaya, yeah. Engineer Mubiana Mufaya.
Yeah.
I come from Zambia. I hold a master's degree in environmental engineering,
okay,
with specialization in environmental protection,
okay,
and rational utilization of natural resources,
mm,
from Voronezh State University of Technology, mm, Engineering Technology in Russia.
Mm.
Got this via a competitive government scholarship back in the days.
Okay.
Of course, the interest into studying this course,
yeah,
and being an Adventist myself, yes, was to try and see how we can be of help,
mm,
with the emerging problem of global climate change,
yes,
problems that we are facing.
Yeah,
you know, as you know, here in Zambia right now, I'm sure you know,
yes,
we've been hit by this long spell of drought,
sure,
that has been so catastrophic, mm, to the plants,
mm,
and then the animal life welfare. Mm. So climate change is a big thing, like you said in your intro. It's, mm, it's affecting everyone,
yeah,
rich and the poor. And so we come into this space to try and see how we can help mitigate,
yeah,
these climate change issues, how we can live through these things, and what kind of climate friendly technologies we can put in place, yeah, to make sure that we can continue to live on doing the things we need to do, you know, producing, mm, food, you know, energy production,
yeah,
but in an environmentally friendly manner,
mm,
yeah, so to, mm, speak. I think that's what I would briefly say in my,
fantastic,
intro.
I'm always excited when I speak to Zambians because, and I always tell the story on this show. Probably people have, you know, heard the story too many times. But 2008 was when I first set foot in Zambia. And I, right, went to Kitwe, I went to Lusaka, you, mm, know, just those two cities were really exciting. So anyone from Zambia for me is very exciting for me because it just takes me back to 2008. That's how far back that is. But yeah, we are here by God's grace after all of that. Okay, all of that now, I just want to start here, Mr. Mufaya, on let's lay the ground. What is climate change? Is it just a rhetoric that's thrown around to, I suppose, create fear or excitement or some other thing? But what exactly is climate change? What are we talking about?
When we talk about climate change, we're talking about things in the environment or in the global space that are affecting our ways of life.
Okay.
Now, you did mention, is it something that is just a rhetoric?
Yeah.
There's been debates on whether people are just trying to threaten others with this thing. Others will tell you, this thing has been there.
Yeah.
Floods have been there from time immemorial, this and that. But climate change is real. The effects can be seen now, especially in the present world that we live in right now.
Mm.
You would argue, yes, to say floods have been there, and all these droughts have been there from the times of the Bible.
Mm.
That is all right, but we are talking about frequency.
Mm.
Frequency matters so much. Mm. Right now we have floods and droughts happening at a more frequent rate than used to be in the past.
Yeah.
This just shows you how the problem is compounding.
Yeah.
To a very serious and near catastrophic end result if we don't do anything about it.
Sure.
And quickly also, I must mention, there is, in my opinion, there's a fight because the tycoons, the mafias, as I would call them, that have been running the oil industry for a long time would not want to give up so easily.
Yes.
Because you have to understand that what is affecting climate change mostly? The things we'll discuss today, if time allows us, are two major things.
Yeah.
It's energy.
Okay.
And food production.
Yeah.
So agriculture and energy. For you to produce more food, you need to cut down many trees. You need to use, these fertilizers for you to get greater yields. You need to do so. It's coming from that end.
Yeah.
And then for you, to drive the economy, you need fuel.
Mm.
You need these fossil fuels. Mm. You're talking of the diesels, the petrols, and so forth.
Yeah.
So oil or fuel, in short, runs the economies of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been rich people behind this for a long time. Economies of certain big countries in the Middle East are run, and they're doing so fine because of this industry. And so you can't just come up and say, oh, guys, these fossil fuels we're using are damaging the ozone layer. They are causing climate change, effects of climate change. We have to do away with this and introduce environmentally friendly, means of doing business, of agriculture, of energy production. I mean, you are going to face resistance.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll go on, but I think I'll just end there.
That makes sense. I mean, we have a goal. If I'm not wrong, you'll correct me, but it must be an SDG number 13 or so about climate change, and the need to eradicate that. Like you said, time immemorial, some people might argue, but when did we start realizing this thing and the rate at which it's now affecting us?
Well, it's been there. Except the problem has been that before this social media era came up, dissemination of information was kind of a bit difficult, a bit slow, and so you wouldn't watch the catastrophes that are taking place in different places of the world caused by this same climate change, and. So the reaction towards this thing was not so much in the past as compared to the past 10 to 20 years, when especially between 10 and 5 years from the recent past, when now we have with social media, whatever is happening, the floods in East Africa, the droughts in Southern Africa, you get to know about it there and then.
Yeah.
And I think that somehow has helped us to get the sense of of reality that actually this thing is real, because now we're getting information instantly as compared to the way it used to be in the past.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Before we even get into the technologies now that are trying to help us solve this thing, right? There are people who are saying, well, Africa is contributing less to climate change, so therefore there's no need for us to even adapt or even look at technologies and all these other stuff. Your views on that?
Yes. That topic has been there, and I think during the COP26 meeting on climate change issues that was held in Europe recently, I'm sure you heard how African countries were coming out so strongly to talk about this, that we are being bundled together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the advanced countries and us Africans who have very few industries.
Yes.
And being put on the same level as if we are contributing the same way to the problem when we are not.
Yes.
In a way, yes, Africa is behind because we are just developing, so our industries are still are very low.
Yeah.
And the European countries, you know, the Western countries take responsibility for the most part of causing this climate change impact on the environment. I think they do realize that. And so, but the effects, that's the problem. The effects are felt by everyone.
Yes, yes.
The effects are felt by everyone. And so it's at the effects level that we also are forced to take responsibility and want to be part of the solution as Africa.
So what are those challenges then for Africa?
You mean challenges in
of climate change?
Yeah, like I said, the challenges are the same everywhere. So we're talking about droughts, for example, as one very, very clear indication. Now we are talking also of floods.
Okay.
In various areas, we're talking of heat waves. Prolonged heat waves in certain places of the world, and this is everywhere. It's not only in Europe or Africa, but it happens everywhere. When the net effect is felt by the whole world.
Yeah.
And this is where we feel, okay, can we do something? Can we do something about it?
We certainly cannot just be sitting by, right? We definitely need to do something. And I love the lens within which you're looking at it as an Adventist as well. I suppose to say even Adventist.
We have an earth to protect.
Yeah,
remember we've given this.
Exactly. We can't just be sitting by as Adventists there and not say anything there. All right. Technologies then that are supposed to help us. What technologies are we talking about around this climate change?
Okay, so when we are talking about climate technologies, these are technologies that we use to address climate change.
Okay.
So these technologies help us reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and they include renewable energies such as wind energy, solar power energy, hydropower energy, and other artificial intelligence systems that are being put in place. If time allows us, we're going to go into details of these things. So there are a series of these technologies, and the, like I mentioned earlier on, the major causes of this climate change is energy and agriculture. And this is according to me, when I study these things and bring them down, I find two major things.
Yeah.
And so the release of toxic carbon gases into the atmosphere that are damaging and causing carbon and causing a climate change effect. And so when we are talking of technologies that are climate technologies, we're talking about technologies that are going to be able to capture carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
Okay.
You know, and that can be either directly or chemically by altering them. And then maybe you produce, for example, if you react carbon dioxide with hydrogen, you produce methanol, methane, and formic acid, and a few other things. So, in a sense, let me say this. technology, good as it may be, has been the major cause of climate change. And so it has to take technology to solve the problem.
Yeah.
We cannot continue just doing things in the name of enhancing technology when we are causing damage to the planet.
Yeah.
And so the same technology has to take responsibility for the damages caused. So this is why we are saying, okay, can we begin to find ways of, you know, capturing this carbon dioxide we are raising into the air and use it for other useful things? Because as you know, removing excess carbon dioxide from the atmosphere could go a long way towards slowing down global warming.
Yes.
And one of these things, we could go into greater details, but there's little knowledge that we have about it as Africans. Or, you know, talking of carbon trading, I'm sure you've heard about this.
Yeah.
A lot is being done to really make this trade meaningful and valuable for African countries. But in a nutshell, you know, we are talking of dealing with things like forest conservation and land management, like, you know, African setup, where you are told, okay, hey, can you preserve X, hectares of land? Don't disturb this place. And then we know to say the green plants and trees that are in the forest, they utilize carbon dioxide from the environment during the process of photosynthesis.
Yes.
And then they release oxygen into the atmosphere. This oxygen, of course, is inhaled by the animals during respiration. That's what we use. And these animals and other technological systems, of course, produce the carbon dioxide. So the more trees you have, the more consumers or absorbers of carbon dioxide you have. And so that's just one of those ways. But the actual technologies available, we're talking of solar energy.
Okay.
Solar energy has evolved. Right now you've got big industries that are running under solar energy.
Yeah.
We've moved from just having a solar energy that can just charge a small bulb or a phone to actually running factories. Right now in Zambia, a few weeks, if not days ago, our president, President Hakainde Hichilema, announced to the country, you know, encouraging Zambians, you know, saying, let's not despair.
Yeah.
You know, out of this situation that we are in, this climate change situation, this drought situation, he says, let's take this as an opportunity. Businessmen out there, go out there, you know, venture into other alternative sources of energy like solar energy.
Yeah.
And you can sell this excess energy to the national grid, which is ZESCO, and be able to make a living out of it. So solar has become a big thing here in Africa. We've got too much sun, bro.
Too much.
And so we need to harness that energy, and that's going to help us reduce dependency on fossil fuels and then thereby decreasing carbon emissions.
Yeah.
The other one is wind energy, of course.
Okay.
In areas where there's enough wind, wind power has seen a substantial growth, contributing to about 7.3% of the global electricity generation as of 2021, according to the Global Wind Energy Council of 2022. So wind energy as well is contributing. You know, it's small things put together. All these things are environmentally friendly. You know, they don't bring about any toxicity to the atmosphere or to the earth. You know, the other one, I'm just going to go through them a bit quickly, and then we can discuss maybe later on. So then we're talking of also energy storage and grid technologies. In terms of batteries, you know, batteries have also evolved. We now have bigger and better lithium batteries that are able to store energy.
Okay,
it can be used together with the solar energies and be able to also produce significant amounts of energy, store energy, and you can use it later on for various economic activities in place of fossil fuels. We're also talking of sustainable transportation. This is the electric vehicles. You are hearing them. They are coming up quite well.
Yes, they are
evolving. They are becoming better by the day. There are a few challenges here and there. And somehow I do feel they're being frustrated. We should have been far by now.
Okay.
But like I said, in my opinion, there's a tug of war.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that are dealing with the oils will not just give up easily to the guys that want to bring in, for example, electric vehicles.
Yeah.
But when the time for change comes, change always happens. So I'm very positive that soon we are going to move in this direction and have more of electric vehicles and machinery running as opposed to having fossil fuels that produce toxic emissions into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Then I did mention the carbon capture and sequestration, which is the CCS technologies that capture carbon dioxide emissions from industrial processes and power plants, preventing them from entering into the atmosphere. So there are few people who are becoming responsible.
Yeah.
Since okay, we know we are producing maybe fertilizer, we're producing these toxins, sulfuric acid, whatever we are doing.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure before the toxic gases are released into the atmosphere, they are captured and then either converted into other useful substances than letting them go into the atmosphere. So there are all these kinds of technologies that we are putting, that are being put in place, and people are working around the globe to see to it that these things are put into place. Like I mentioned earlier on, in the recent COP26 talks that was held in Europe, governments and enterprises teamed up with the agriculture industry.
Yeah.
And I'm going quickly into the agriculture because I mentioned two things. Remember, I said it's the manufacturing industries, you know, the factories, the transport industry that is using the most of fossil fuels that are causing or contributing the most to climate change, as well as the agriculture component.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of companies and governments are coming together to make sure that agricultural policies that are more sustainable and protect the food supply against ecological challenges are put into place. So as you know, agriculture is a complex issue for countries that are looking to balance the interests and net zero objectives.
Yeah.
But technology plays a very important role in agriculture. So, you know, announcements, including the Glasgow Leaders Declaration on the Forest and Land Use, signed by more than 130 countries, which confirmed that they will work together to halt forest loss and land degradation by 2030. In addition, more than 100 countries agreed to cut methane emissions by 30% as of 30% of 2020. By 2030. So these are all positive moves, but there's still a lot that needs to be done. In fact, factually speaking, agriculture, forestry, and land use directly account for approximately 18.4% of greenhouse emissions.
Yo,
that's quite good.
That's big.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the entire food chain, including refrigeration, food processing, you know, now packaging and transportation logistics, the number goes up.
Yo.
All these account for a staggering 25% of emissions in total.
Yeah.
You know, so from production to refrigeration, processing, packaging, transportation, we're talking about 25% of emissions coming from agriculture. And yet this is a very important sector of society that you can do without. And so that's why a lot has to be done in that area. And I'm going to run into, I think, what needs to be done, what is being done in the agricultural sector in terms of technologies that are user-friendly. So in the past decades, agriculture has become more reliant on fossil inputs, from fossil fuels to drive large machinery to synthetic nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizers and agrochemicals designed to improve crop fertility.
Yeah.
And so you can see that these are the things we are using. You know, if you go to big farms, you will see heavy duty machineries, you know, big tractors, you know, processing machines. All those are using fossil fuels.
Yes.
And then on the other hand, we have got chemicals being produced, fertilizers and everything else, and these all produce toxic gases into the atmosphere that account a great deal, 25% of emissions in total, that are disturbing our globe. So somehow agriculture must become greener while feeding a growing population, which is now we know we are about 8 billion or so. And by 2037, somewhere there, we could reach 9 billion. But it will require a huge industry-wide effort to sustainably feed everyone, you know, cut greenhouse gases and stop deforestation for cattle ranching. So there are a few agricultural technology, we call them agritechs, that has enormous potential, both in capabilities and you know, in combating climate change in the agricultural setup. If we develop developing an agri-tech that will allow African farmers, for example, here in Africa, to adapt data-driven precise farming, will help boost the agriculture industry in the region, you know, and optimize yields. Bill Gates or Microsoft is working to ensure that the country's farming communities have access to the latest technology, including artificial technology. So we're talking about taking advantage of technology that would help us to better understand the times, predictions, and methods, what's are going to them, that we can use to as part of smart agriculture. For example, in Nigeria, startups are already working on innovative projects. For example, Nigeria's Relief is using technology to improve food processing. It found that 90% of factories were running 50% below their installed capacity in the vegetable oil industry due to inefficient running issues. So the company is developing a hardware and software solution to make them more efficient and sustainable, including predictive maintenance, production projections, and supply chain inventory management. Many programs are also already underway around the globe to help agriculture become more sustainable and, you know, resilient to climate change. For example, the Orange business is working with data-driven platform specialists, AGDA Hub, and environmental services group, SUIS, to help European farmers accelerate digital transformation and improve the management of ecological resources. There's what we call IoT, or Internet of Things, as one of those things. That refers to the collective network of connected devices and technologies that facilitate communication between devices and the clouds or the atmosphere, as well as between devices themselves. So these devices will help you, you know, predict. Like what happened in Zambia, for example, I'll tell you. We had a robust planting season. The government was deliberate, gave out a lot of incentives, you know, fertilizers and seeds to so many people, you know, simple soft loans. Everyone went into production. But I think we had a challenge in being able to, you know, to know beforehand how the rain patterns were going to be and how things would be. So many people planted a lot of hectareage that went into loss, you know, because of lack of these technologies that would be able to help us, you know, predict the weather patterns, you know, 2-3 months in advance of time and see what crops, because we do have which crops can do better in the event of such a climate situation. And so people would have gone flat out to grow those. But now, lacking all these kinds of technologies makes it very difficult for farmers to predict and be able to know how they can move around or navigate around this climate change issue. So a few other things like Earth observation data that helps improve environmental monitoring. So all these are some of the, we could get into details, but some of timely data instruments that are that would help you mitigate the effects of climate change and be able to, you know, tell the times, much as we would also foster coming up with agricultural friendly practices. What is happening in Zambia right now, and I think the president announced that all solar and solar related equipment that are being imported into Zambia, I think, are coming in tax free. This is to you know, to encourage solar dependency in the agriculture sector. And you will find that most of small-scale to medium farmers in Zambia right now have gone flat out, you know, using solar pumps, you know, solar irrigation systems. You find a lot of farms running under solar irrigation systems, and it's working out quite well. I think we are going towards, you know, using the bigger equipment that I think should be able to, I mean, machinery that should be able to run under solar for processing of the food that we grow. But yeah, there is that direction. Countries, I'm proud of my country because the president is resilient. I think he is trying to get us into that direction where we need to use more of alternative sources of energy to produce food, and it's happening on the ground. Then also talking to rural people, you know, in, discouraging the careless cutting down of trees, you know for charcoal, you know, for various reasons that are depleting the forest and creating serious issues in the climate that we live in. So there's lots of NGOs that have come up in place trying to educate the masses on precision agriculture, smart farming, you know, integrating artificial intelligence, you know, those like advanced farmers could use drones for various purposes, you know, you know, could be for spraying, for monitoring and for production, you know. And there are also various NGOs that are also, you know, working on afforestation and reforestation, you know, replanting of trees in areas which were depleted of trees, and also just planting trees in other areas so that we have enough of foliage that is there to capture this carbon dioxide that is being released into the atmosphere. So maybe I'll conclude by saying that technology offers promising solutions for combating climate change by reducing emissions, enhancing energy efficiency, and fostering sustainable practices across various sectors, such as agriculture. As innovations continue to advance, policymakers, businesses, and individuals must collaborate to accelerate the adoption of these technologies and achieve a sustainable future. But there has to be deliberate policies and agreement. I mean, we need to understand that we only have planet A. There's no planet B. So even if we are making big money through the oil industry, even if we are making big money through this and that, we have to understand if we don't take care of this one and only planet we have, all the wealth we are accumulating, everything else we are doing will be in vain. I think I'll end there and just see if you have any comments.
Indeed, I do have a few questions that I wanted to ask. But thank you so much for that, those insights that you've given to us. I think they paint a picture quite beautifully. And some of the questions that I had, in fact, you've already answered them. Because I was going to ask about how do we balance then the interest of food security, for example, and in combating climate change. But I think you've addressed that as well. And then I want to go back to the earlier on, like I said, with the few minutes that we have. But I want to go back to the issue of carbon credits there. I wonder if we are not inadvertently or unintendedly creating another problem there. Because if you look at how people in the finance space, have responded, is that businesses have found a way to just sell so that they continue, damaging or, contributing negative, as long as they can pay for it, as long as they can sell those things and pay for it or whatever. So are we not, that's my first question. Are we not creating an industry, unintendedly by making those type of things? So that's the first. The second one is around net zero, particularly 2030, in your own, insights, having spent some time in here, do you think we'll be able to reach that net zero by 2030? Or is it something that is... I suppose a pipe dream of some sort. And then last one would be, how sustainable are these alternatives, solar energy, wind energy, and all those sort of stuff? I mean, if you look at how many businesses have integrated solar energy into their operations, they still need to rely on the grid, for example. Because there are days when there's no sun or whatever, the wind is not that strong enough. So how sustainable, even for cars? I mean, we've seen these cars that have been introduced into the markets by the different, especially the big ones. This thing, after a few kilometers, again, it needs to be charged somewhere. So if there's no infrastructure for charging that thing at some stage, I mean, you won't even make it to your journey. How do we navigate these three?
Okay, no, thank you. Those are very, very important questions. I'll start with the one where you said, are we not creating a problem? We are.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we have reached the place where we need to negotiate. We need to compromise.
Yeah, I see.
Because technology is coming up every day. It's expanding and advancing every day.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop because the need, the financial need, and the need to have things done easily and simpler. Keeps increasing by the day.
Yeah.
And so we realize, okay, since this thing is growing and the demand for it, careless demand for it growing, can we then sit down and strike a deal? For everything you produce, okay, you're going to pay X.
Yeah.
It's not a deal that we're going into with open arms, happily.
Yeah.
But it's something that we are doing in the meantime as we're still looking for final solutions that we can try to mitigate the situation. And it also creates a degree of responsibility.
Yes.
To those that are doing it.
Yeah.
I'll say a lot about that, but I think I'll just end there because of time. So I go to the second one.
Yeah.
You're saying
net zero 2030.
The net zero.
Yeah.
Again, I'll be frank with you. We've been chasing after these things for a long time.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I'm not going to represent anyone, but in my opinion, I feel it's such statements that make others not take us environmentalists serious. Mm. When you say net zero by 2050, even by 2090, when you make statements like that, it looks like you're just dreaming, because we need reality. Just like I said, we had to strike a deal on the carbon trade because this is a difficult situation.
Yeah.
And so we cannot say we're going to reach a time in the nearest future where we are going to do away completely with things that are damaging the atmosphere.
Okay.
So I think I would urge a precaution on that we need to be communicating. Sometimes we get too excited when we are given platforms like these where you're talking and you want to appear like we have all the solutions at hand and we're going to end problems at once.
Yeah.
At once. I mean, you can't. It's like things like poverty. You can't say by 2090 or what, there'll be zero poverty here or there. It can. These things are going to be there. But we can mitigate them. And I think when we begin to make realistic statements like, okay, we will try to reduce it by so much percentage.
Yeah.
People will be able to buy into it because it appears realistic.
Yeah.
And like zero. So that's my comment about that. And the last one was about what was the last question again?
How sustainable are these alternatives solar
sustainability.
Energy? Yeah.
That one also is crucial.
Yeah.
I hear you. I was talking with my wife about some time back about these electric vehicles where you have to charge it every after, a few kilometers here and there. But I think these work in progress kind of technologies. Mistake that we made, I think, when the world went into the industrial revolution, the world became careless. We just went after making breakthroughs into the technology industry without taking too much consideration into coming up with other technologies that would be able to combat climate change.
Yeah.
But these are works in progress, and I think very soon we should be able to get to a point where we have electric cars that can charge at once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, help you go for a longer period. I think they're working around those things day and night.
Yeah.
And the same with solar. I would agree with you again. I'm an environmental engineer who is very alert of what is happening. I don't want to get too excited. And I agree with you.
Mm.
Solar, to some degree, may not be as sustainable. But it's a good starting point. Okay. Like I said, solar energy has evolved.
Okay.
We now have drip irrigation systems, overhead irrigation systems that are running, watering massive hectares of land you know, that are just using the sun. That is in terms of production. So that's a plus. You know, and then to crown it all, if we do all these small things right, I want you to hear me very well on that one. If we do all these small things right, what we are going to have at the end of the day is that we are going to reduce the emission of these toxic gases into the atmosphere, and we are going to stabilize the weather patterns.
Yeah.
That is going to be giving us sufficient rain for everywhere.
Yeah.
And countries like Zambia, which have a good number of rivers, are going to have enough water to produce hydroelectric power that is going to run our industries, which is also climate friendly.
Yeah.
So that's the crown of it.
Sure. That's beautiful. And I suppose then these technology alternatives, they may not necessarily be perfect at this stage, but they are definitely a good start and an alternative that we need to explore. And like any other thing, over time, they will develop, will find a way to make them more sustainable, I suppose, and more permanent solutions will be found. But there's always, obviously, the opportunity to keep on learning and becoming better and better and better. But the truth of the matter is that we have a problem, and that is climate change. And we've got to solve it, and we've got to find alternatives for us to do that. And we can't just be sitting and letting things, you know, get further and further, I suppose, damaged and all that. How do we as Africa, as we close this one, how do we as Africa take part? How do we get involved?
Like I said, we have, I think, started making the huge, the big producers of these toxic substances into the atmosphere to pay for it, taking them to account.
Yeah.
And then since we are emerging economies, emerging technologies that are not yet there, our industries are still emerging, we have an opportunity to start looking into coming up or growing these, climate technologies that can help combat climate change.
Yeah.
We shouldn't want to rush to go robust in terms of technology, like the advanced countries that we have by use of these things that our friends have used over the years to destroy the earth. We have a chance in Africa, I think, to begin to spend more time working on climate friendly technologies. I think that's one thing we need to do.
Yeah.
And also, you know, encouraging smart agriculture, protecting our forests. You know, Africa is rich.
Yeah.
We have a lot of forests. So we have to try and see how can we, you know, help the villagers who rely on charcoal burning as a business so that they can stop that, you know, get them things to do. Again, I'll come back to my country. You know, my president has has rolled out what we call the Constituency Development Fund, where he's encouraging young men, young girls to who might have not gone to school up to university level, you know, to go and go to their councils, the wards, and get registered and have this trade kind of knowledge in various, you know, skills, you know, tailoring, you know, building, you know, planning, and so to just deter youth in rural areas who might have not had a chance to go to school like some of us did, and are just busy cutting down trees so as to have to sustain a living, so they can get to have, you know, trade and do some things. So that can help us, and then also, you know, preserving our soils, you know, using the right kind of agricultural mechanisms to just make sure that we protect that which we have. You can see there's a lot of Europe is so much interested in Africa because you've seen that it's natural, it's got a future, there's land and everything else. So we need to be proactive and make policies that are going to protect that which we have.
Definitely. Sure. We've run out of time, but thank you so much for those beautiful insights there. And I do hope that listeners as well would have learned something from it. And I will check in with you once again in the next coming future as we see how these technologies are growing, are being adapted, and, you know, are being integrated into business and how businesses do, you know, their everyday operations and business. But thank you so much, my brother, for your insights. Really, really appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you
so much there. That was our elder there, Mufaya, talking to us about climate change and the effects of climate change, and particularly why these climate change alternative technologies are important. I'm not going to spoil this one. It was a beautiful conversation.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.